of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated.
From Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 2 responsively. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats?
Why
break their yoke, they say? Let us cast off their bonds from us. Then in wrath God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror.
Let
me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you. You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery."
And now we are
submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow down in worship.
Blessed the Lord.
Reading from 2 Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. This final Sunday in the season of Epiphany, we get this wonderful bright light story of the Transfiguration. This story is a mountaintop experience that is too mysterious and too wonderful to try to understand or explain. I'm pretty sure that the apostles breathed a sigh of relief when Jesus said to them, "Don't tell anyone about this vision." But we do want to hear an explanation. We want to know, what was that about? What really happened on that holy hill? The people of the Holy Land, those ancient people, that land of mountains and deserts and very interesting light, those people had a great sense of geography and place. They had places that they named memory sites, places where they could go and be in touch with their sacred story, places where they could recall the stories of God interacting with his holy people, places where they could connect with God, especially mountains. And it seems like every mountain in the Holy Land has a story. Our first reading this morning from the book of Exodus, we hear about one such mountain. Moses entered into the very presence of God on the top of Mount Sinai and received there the tablets of the covenant. Centuries later, Jesus took his three closest disciples up a mountain, a different mountain, Mount Tabor. It was a holy mountain. It had stories. It was a memory site. There they were connected, they were led into that sacred story of their faith, and there on that mountain they heard the voice of God. Peter, James, and John had a glimpse of the face of God on that mountain. There, on that holy hill, on that memory site, their eyes were opened to see the sacred light that was Jesus. The bright light shone like the sun from Jesus' clothes and from his face. Now, this whole season of Epiphany has been a study of light. And we recalled the story of creation, when on the first day, the first thing, God created a light strong enough to separate day from night. And God saw that the light was good. And God sent that good light as a star to guide the Magi all the way from the east to Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, and let that light shine on the face of the child so that those kings could recognize him as the Savior of all creation. It was that same good light, that same good light of God, that he used in the miraculous power to open the eyes of the blind and announce the dawn on Easter morning. God does love light, and God loves all who welcome the light, sending it to shine over and over again, blessing us with beautiful sunrises and sunsets every day. The light that transfigured Jesus on the mountaintop in Palestine was strong and bright enough to open the eyes of Peter and James and John, and they saw that Jesus indeed was the Messiah.
But they were overcome with fear, and they fell to the ground. The bright light and the voice of God did not produce faith in those disciples. It produced fear. And what does Jesus do for those fearful disciples? He comes to them in tenderness and understanding. These men on the ground, hiding their heads in their hands, are raised to new life by Jesus. God had said, listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. And the next thing they hear from Jesus, the very first thing they hear from Jesus is, do not be afraid. Listen to him. Obey. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. How much we need to hear that word and to receive such healing and to feel the transforming touch from Jesus. We need to hear that in our lives right now. And not just for our sakes, but for the sake of the world. When we hear and obey Jesus, we are able to turn then and offer that healing and life-giving touch to the rest of the world, to the scared and worried, to the anxious and hurting people that we meet every day. Annie Dillard is a contemporary poet, and she wrote, the question from agnosticism is, who turned on the lights? The question from faith is, whatever for? The holy light on the top of the mountain was not meant to dazzle and overwhelm, but rather to empower and to set free. It was intended for those first disciples to be able to put into perspective Jesus' teaching. You know, right before they went up the mountain, Matthew tells us of a conversation that Jesus was having with these very disciples. And the conversation that Jesus was having with the disciples was, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm on my way to the cross, where I will be crucified, where I will die. And those disciples said, well, Peter said, wait a minute, Jesus, you got that wrong. Let me explain it to you. You're Jesus, you're the Messiah. That's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to let you be crucified. And Jesus said, no, you got it wrong, Peter. And then he takes him up this mountain and shows him in this bright light. God shows Peter, this is the Messiah. And in that bright light, in that perspective, Peter and James and John were able to understand what Jesus had been talking about carrying one's cross, about suffering and death. It was that light on the mountaintop was to light their way in their journey with Jesus to the cross and beyond. The military have developed, with advanced technology, night vision goggles. Now, if anyone goes into my computer and does a search to see what I have been looking at, and you come up with military night vision goggles, and you would, you know, maybe the FBI would wonder, you know, what is she doing? What else is she looking at on her internet search? But I found out they're very expensive. But they have these goggles that allow the wearer to be able to see in complete darkness. And I'm thinking, that is what that mountaintop experience was like for the disciples. Their life didn't change, but they could see in a new way. They were given night vision, able to see through the darkness of their life and go on without fear. God's light shines in us as well. In baptism, we're given night vision. We're given goggles to see through the suffering and the darkness of our own lives. The deacon presents a candle and says, "Let your light shine so before others that they may see your good works and glorify God." Your light shining out for the others, for the world to see. God's light shining through you. We who are the baptized children of God do shine with the light of Christ. Through fear and grief, through doubt and cynicism, through violence and war, through suffering, and even through death, our way is illuminated by the holy light from God's presence and God's love. We see it first on the mountaintop, and we carry it with us down the mountain to the flatlands where we live our daily lives, and even into the valley of the shadow of death. That's the light of Christ that shines in each of us. The light that shines so brightly that it casts out fear and shatters the darkness. This is the light that is present even in the darkest and most fearsome times in our lives. And we do have dark times. We have crosses to bear, pains to endure, crises and anxiety to face. We do have crosses to bear, but we do not bear them with our own strength. We have crises to face, but we do not face them with our own power. We walk in darkness, but we do not walk blindly. We are the beloved, the children of God, and in faith we see Christ's glory. And it's his strength that becomes our strength. We walk in the light of Christ, and we are nourished by his body and blood. And in this community of believers, we are in a company of night vision experts. And we know that we are not alone. And it is in this light that we can clearly feel God's light shining on us. We can feel Jesus' hand touching our shoulder and saying, "Get up. Do not be afraid." Jesus says to us, "Do not be afraid." Amen.